The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments are devoted to silent prayer, giving each one the opportunity of preparing himself in the usual manner for the study of the Word of God. You have a few moments of privacy, the option of rebound, the opportunity of shifting gears into strict academic discipline, which means no talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would be disturbing to those who are serious students of the Word of God. In preparation, let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to experience your faithfulness, to know what it means to be the beneficiaries of grace. Pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the portion of the Word that we study this evening, make it a source of blessing and challenge, that we might continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen. We are in the second chapter of Revelation. Let's go back and review the corrected translation, beginning with verse 24. But I say to you, the others, believers living inside the divine dynasphere, that would include the pivot of mature believers, those of you who are in Thyatira, as many as do not adhere, do not hold to this false doctrine, that is the revival of the Baal cult, very similar to the Nicolaitans and Ophites, such a category who have not come to know the alleged deep things of Satan. On you I place no other burden. Only hold on to what you have, that is residence and function, inside the divine dynasphere until I come. Furthermore, the winner, even he who keeps my assignments until the end, that is the termination of phase two, to him I will give authority over the nations. Now this brings us to the point where between verses 26 and 27, we need a summary of historical trends. We have been noting them and picking out parts of them as they are pertinent to various passages. Let's first of all summarize historical trends before we move into verse 27. The first historical trend really doesn't need much explanation. It is simply this: even though history is the record of man's thoughts, decisions, actions, motivations, Jesus Christ controls history. There are two sources of judgment in history: the sovereign decisions of our Lord Jesus Christ and the erroneous decisions of mankind. Secondly, as goes the believer, so goes historical trends at any point, any given generation of the church age. Residence and function inside of the divine dynasphere means historical uptrend, while involvement in the cosmic system means historical downtrend. Three, people individually and collectively are the products of their own decisions. Decisions create environment, not environment decisions. In other words, there are no tragedies in history, rather historical disasters. And these disasters are not tragedies, since both individuals and nations are the products of their own decisions. The pattern of historical disaster begins with economic depression, moves to social degeneracy, and military disaster. And God generally selects the most evil nation to administer the fourth and fifth cycles of discipline to a client nation to God. Number four, individual subjectivity destroys national objectivity. We have noted that arrogant people or arrogant nations never see their own inconsistencies, only the inconsistencies of others. Jealous people and envious nations never see their own sins and production of evil, only the sins and production of evil of others. And this is why our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, enucleated a very special doctrine, the doctrine of perpetual warfare. Until the Lord returns, warfare will never cease on the earth. Our Lord put it this way, there will be wars and rumors of wars until I come. The only way to prevent warfare is to be prepared, so well prepared that no one will attack. But if they do, they will be put down instantly. All freedom comes through military victory, as we have noted on several occasions. Historical trend number five. The demand for power exceeds the need for power. The need for power is determined by the laws of divine establishment, which defines legitimate authority in the civil realm. The demand for power is determined by the motivating evil of Cosmic One and the functional evil of Cosmic Two. Legitimate power always functions in the context of legitimate authority delegated by God through the laws of divine establishment. So that authority is defined for personal life, social life, economic life, professional life, national life, and spiritual life. We have studied before the authorities in all these realms. Perhaps spiritual life needs a little amplification. The Word of God is the authority for the believer in spiritual life. The pastor is the communicator of the Word of God and therefore the authority in the local church from that standpoint. And his authority extends to the communication of doctrine and to supervision of the administration of the local church, plus the grace policies that should be involved in teaching the Word of God. Evil and its destructive power exist to the extent that cosmic arrogance exceeds the restraints of legitimate power and authority. And this principle is true whether in a football game where the referee loses control, or in a national entity where the government fails to protect the freedom, the privacy, the property, and life of its citizens, or even in a local church where the congregation is to be protected by the teaching of the Word of God and privacy enforced, or in a home where parents have no control over their children, this becomes a disaster. And since we are the products of our own volition and self-determination rather than environment, motivational and functional evil of the cosmic system can only be restrained through gate 3 of the divine dynasphere, enforced in genuine humility. In our summary, the sixth historical trend. Historical trends are related to the conflict between objective reality, or life in the divine dynasphere, versus subjective reality, or life in the cosmic system. Believers are not only the products of their own decisions, not environment. but the nation in which they reside is affected by their good or bad decisions. Good decisions relate to life in the divine dynasphere. Bad decisions relate to life in the cosmic system. Arrogant individuals, groups, or nations never see the disastrous consequences of their own bad decisions related to the cosmic system of Satan. Preoccupation with self to the exclusion of objective reality is the greatest blindness problem in life and the major explanation for such things as criminality. Point 7. There is no progress in innovation without truth or without a legitimate system. Innovation without truth is historically disastrous, while innovation without a bona fide system is destructive. Innovation without a system includes such things as modern art, religious cults, rock and hard music, weirdo poetry, Keynesian economic innovations, everything from Gnosticism to communism. Innovation imposed on others without their consent runs the gamut from personal arrogance to collective tyranny. Redistribution of wealth, the welfare state, socialism, and communism are innovations of disaster. Historical trend number 8. Too often history is the story of how the weak control the strong. Weak, insecure, irresponsible, thoughtless, arrogant people often control policy, procedures, and people. And this is in social life, in culture, in business, in professional life, in government, in churches, almost anywhere where organization exists. Through arrogance, self-centeredness, and preoccupation with self, the weak in society control and manipulate the strong. And this is why a nagging wife makes a scene in public and dominates a thoughtful or a courteous and kind husband. This is why peons and scum are possessive and often control nice people. This is why irrational, self-righteous crusaders often dominate in politics and in government administration. This is how power-mad, irresponsible press can dominate and destroy great leaders. This is how a junta, I believe the British say junta, this is how a junta can make a bad decision and immediately start lawlessness on the international scene. The 9th historical trend. Man's strength lies in his non-meritorious use of his volition, not in his human ability. With his volition, the believer can make right decisions relating to God's power and Bible doctrine. But he can also make wrong decisions based on subjectivity and human arrogance, and thereby succumb to satanic propaganda, the satanic propaganda of the cosmic system. Choosing to believe Satan's deceitful and clever propaganda, whether in religion, or philosophy, or psychology, or sociology, or political science, or any other thought system, or any other academic subject, results in choosing the thinking and environment of the cosmic system. This does not imply that the academic subjects mentioned are all satanic viewpoint, far from it. But most of them, if not all of them, from time to time, contain a great deal of human viewpoint. Such a choice thereafter limits the use of one's free will to bad decisions until one runs out of bad decisions, closing the doors to all options in life and terminating life on earth with the maximum punishment which we have studied under the title the sin unto death. By choosing divine truth in three categories, establishment for everyone, the gospel for the unbeliever, and doctrine for the believer, the decision results in both residence and function in the divine dynasphere, where the filling of the Spirit, gate one, produces the power, where basic impersonal love, gate two, produces the objectivity, and where enforced and genuine humility of gate three produce teachability for greater options in life, plus personal blessing and the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, man must inevitably choose something greater than himself by which to live. He must choose greater wisdom, greater power, and greater ability. And this, there are only two power systems available today. The divine dynasphere, first used in prototype by our Lord Jesus Christ during his incarnation, and the cosmic system of Satan, which has been operational on planet Earth since the original fall of man. If man is to live by his wits, he must live by his volition. Non-meritorious use of volition, linking up, of course, with grace and the plan of God, results in historical blessing by association for all. Number 10, historical trend. Too often history is the narrative of man's weaknesses then, and not his strength. Inside the divine dynasphere, the battle is the Lord's, and you win. Sunday morning, we spent a whole morning studying the profile of a winner. Inside the cosmic system, the battle is yours, and you lose. There are no winners in the cosmic system, just different categories of losers. There are no losers in the divine dynasphere, just different categories of winners. There would be no human history without man's wrong decisions, and wrong decisions are made every day in the cosmic system. This is a part of the great conflict between the arrogance of the cosmic system and the humility of the divine dynasphere. Weakness becomes strength by choosing for the divine dynasphere, while strength becomes weakness by choosing for the cosmic system. So that no one can really evaluate your life and say that you are always strong, you are always great, you are always this. Because any time that you choose to go into the divine dynasphere, whatever your strong points happen to be, they are drowned, they are immersed in weakness. There are no strong points for the believer living in the cosmic system. Once Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, history becomes a matter of self-determination. Adam made a wrong decision, and now the human race is plagued with wrong decisions. And the use of human volition is therefore the issue in life. To make good decisions, you open options for greater decisions and blessing. To make bad decisions, you destroy those options. The historical trends of the church age are related to the believer's choices or of options. And the believer's choosing for the divine dynasphere, making a large pivot in any generation, means a generation of great blessing. But believers choosing and making options for the cosmic system means a generation of disaster. We are on the threshold of a decade of great disaster. So good decisions are made for the divine dynasphere. Bad decisions are made by the believer for the cosmic system. And while man is free, mankind in general is weak. He is born in weakness. He lives in weakness and often dies in weakness. Man is weak, therefore he must use his volition. You see, the greatest thing you have going for you is your free will. And all of us must use our free will to identify with a power system, a power greater than we are, a power system which can turn weakness into strength. And, of course, that is the divine dynasphere. There's also available a power system which turns strength into weakness, and that's what we have studied under the title of the cosmic system. So inside the divine dynasphere, men's lives are changed by doctrine. Inside the cosmic system, men's lives are changed by arrogance, by motivating and functional evil. So under the principle of liberty, man must be free to succeed. But by the same token, man must be free to fail. Therefore, true freedom is the source of both failure and success. And this is what is one of the many things that is vicious about communism. Because communism relates failure or success to the state instead of to the Word of God. And the state becomes God rather than the Bible. The 11th historical trend, knowledge of truth manufactures freedom. The principle is stated in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is another way of saying that good decisions create options for greater decisions, while bad decisions destroy those options. The cosmic system has the power to change lives for the worst, while the divine dynasphere has the power to change lives for the better. Better or worse are two concepts that we face in our daily lives. None of us stand still. We are constantly moving in one direction or the other. That's why volition is operational until either by wrong decisions you destroy your mentality, which would be the use of drugs, or you become a vegetable in some other way, or you depart from this life through physical death. So better or worse is the daily option of the free will functioning in the sphere of freedom. Freedom carries the responsibility of making decisions based on truth, or what we call Bible doctrine, rather than making decisions based on arrogance and evil. Preoccupation with yourself is arrogance. Preoccupation with satanic doctrine is evil. Furthermore, recognition of our weaknesses is neither demeaning nor degrading. We're seeing a historical trend in this country. Illegal aliens and immigrants of all time will come in and work for very low wages. They are willing to do this because they recognize that this is the country of opportunity, and you have to start somewhere. And they do not regard it as demeaning to take these jobs. But we have a whole area of the labor market today. I've seen interview after interview on television. We're certainly grateful to television for getting a cross-section of opinion. And so many people have said in their own accent that they would not take a job like that. It's too, it lowers them, they say, and other things. In other words, they're expressing some form of the principle, it's demeaning to wash dishes. It's demeaning to scrub floors. Any work is far more honorable than loafing, or worse, taking help from the government. All solutions to life begin with weakness. And with the grace principle is the only true principle in life that recognizes that we are weak. We cannot save ourselves, so we are saved by God's provision. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Once we are saved, we are still weak. We are inferior to angels, and we are in various degrees of inferiority in the field of mankind. And while people constantly think in terms of superiority, you cannot get down to making objective decisions until in humility you recognize that you're a member of the human race and therefore you have weaknesses like all members of the human race. Categorically, they may not be the same, but in principle, they have the same result. Man is helpless and hopeless without God's provision. So all solutions to life begin with weakness and the recognition of our failures, and then move to God's provision for strength and integrity. And all strength in life is not from muscle, but from integrity. True strength and honor is a function of the soul, not a function of the body. Weakness in the unbeliever makes evangelism meaningful, while weakness in the believer makes doctrine meaningful. If man is not free to fail, he cannot orient to his need for Christ. And if the believer is not free to fail, he cannot orient to the need of life in the divine dynasphere, the need for daily perception of Bible doctrine. So by taking the responsibility for his own failures, which in effect is taking responsibility for your own decisions, all human failure comes from personal decision. And therefore, we all fail, but those who take responsibility for their failures have the beginning of a solution. And those who blame it on someone else will never have any happiness or solutions to the problems of life. So by taking the responsibility for his own failures and bad decisions, man learns his inherent and acquired weaknesses, and he seeks for a power system greater than his weaknesses, greater than himself. The principle that turns the tide of history, the greater the use of positive volition toward the power and the plan of God, the greater and blessing and prosperity for the client nation involved. And therefore, knowledge of truth not only manufactures freedom, but deliverance and prosperity to the client nation of God. Something we could use right now. For as goes the believer, so goes Client Nation USA. Number 12, historical trend number 12. Out of weakness comes strength. Out of weakness comes strength through positive volition toward truth. We need God. We need God's plan for our lives. God's plan begins when we believe in Christ, and it continues when we learn Bible doctrine inside the divine dynasphere, the function of gate 4. Man is not the master of his fate, nor the lord of his destiny. Man lives in the devil's world, and through weakness is vulnerable to enslavement in the cosmic system. Man can use his own free will to become a slave, or he can use that same free will to become the servant of God. And therefore, the sooner the believer realizes his need of a power greater than himself and outside of himself, the sooner he establishes the right priorities for life. And he establishes a pattern of good decisions relating to the divine dynasphere. Man is not an independent power, but a creature. And as a creature of weakness, whose strength lies in the functions of his soul, especially his volition or free will. In other words, choosing the right power system, choosing the divine dynasphere rather than the cosmic system. Human power, ability, authority, genius, talent, even self-righteousness, or a dynamic personality, or even great beauty, is no substitute for life in the divine dynasphere. And yet today, people depend upon their ability, their authority, their genius, their money, their talent, their self-righteousness, their personality, their beauty. They depend on almost anything of a creature nature rather than depending upon the provision of the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes historical or personal disaster to bring the believer, and anyone in mankind for that matter, but especially here in view as the believer, to bring the believer to an understanding of how weakness is turned into strength. We have studied this in the past. In fact, we started a study of this on New Year's Eve in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10. The grace provision of the divine dynasphere is the case in point. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, after Paul had been praying, and praying a wrong prayer, he'd been praying for the disaster to be taken from him, the thorn in the flesh. He said, remove it. He prayed three times for its removal, but he received quite a different answer. And then he assured me, my grace is sufficient for you, for the power, that is the divine dynasphere, functions in weakness. That's the beauty of God's provision of the divine dynasphere. It functions in prosperity. It functions in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather demonstrate confidence toward God in my weakness. In other words, that would be the function of motivating virtue inside the divine dynasphere. Remember, motivating virtue is always directed toward God and is a function of the royal priesthood. In this case, confidence directed toward God. Whereas the functional virtue, which is the counterpart, is courage directed toward man and circumstances. And then he assured me, my grace is sufficient for you, for the power, the divine dynasphere, functions in weakness. And then Paul's response, most gladly, therefore, I will rather demonstrate confidence toward God in my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ, the divine dynasphere, may pitch a tent over me. Then in verse 10, Paul amplifies, therefore, for the sake of Christ, I find contentment. Inside of the divine dynasphere, there are degrees of happiness. To cover the whole concept, we have the word contentment. Gate one is the filling of the Spirit. There is happiness in the filling of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, happiness. Gate two, enforced in genuine humility. Gate two is basic impersonal love. Gate three is enforced in genuine humility. Gate four, perception and application of doctrine, the momentum gate. Gate five, love of God. Gate six, right man, right woman, where pertinent. Gate seven, friendship, advanced impersonal love. Gate eight is maturity, the ultimate. Each one of these gates represents a degree of happiness. Functioning inside of the divine dynasphere means contentment. Contentment covers all of the degrees of happiness that are available to the believer, including maximum happiness from living at gate eight. So he says, therefore, for the sake of Christ, I find contentment in weaknesses, helpless situations, in the antagonisms of arrogance, opposition from Cosmic One, in pressures, momentum testing, in persecutions, opposition from Cosmic Two, in disasters, hopeless situations. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All true strength comes from weakness. Weakness plus the provision of logistical grace. And that would include God's gracious provision of the divine dynasphere. Number 13, historical trend number 13, the principle of borrowed strength. Borrowed strength is weakness acquired, whereas power is acquired strength. Acquired strength is that spiritual power which results from residence and function inside the divine dynasphere. And that includes spiritual momentum from doctrinal perception. But on the other hand, borrowed strength is that form of human weakness by which the believer becomes involved in the cosmic system. He becomes involved in the cosmic system by depending on apparent strength and alleged wisdom. The apparent strength of others and the alleged wisdom of others. The implication, of course, is obvious. You can use your own free will or you can use your volition to gain strength in the divine dynasphere. Or you can use your same volition to borrow strength and live in the cosmic system in a state of weakness. The believer who lives in the divine dynasphere gains strength through his daily decisions to learn Bible doctrine. Philippians 4:13. I have the endowed power, the divine dynasphere, to attain all things, spiritual maturity, by means of the one, the Holy Spirit, a gate one, who keeps on pouring the power into me, divine Bible doctrine. As often misquoted as I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, that isn't remotely what it says in the Greek. Now this thing of borrowed strength is quite a thing, and there's quite an analogy. Our banking system in the United States is in great jeopardy. Reason? Our banks have loaned a tremendous amount of money to Argentina. We have loaned a tremendous amount of money to Mexico. We have loaned a tremendous amount of money to Poland. Do I have to amplify? We're in great jeopardy. We have done some, and we've loaned in some very strange places. We have no way of ever being repaid, and as a matter of fact, as a historical trend, many of these countries are in the process of being destroyed or in the process of becoming very hostile to us. And hostility never pays back its loans. Now, if you use your volition to gain strength, you will advance to maturity. But if you use your volition to borrow strength, you're going to be weak all of your lives. Well, the question arises, how do I know when I'm borrowing strength? Very simply, make your social life with the wrong crowd. You make decisions to go with people who influence you erroneously. 1 Corinthians 15:33 puts it this way. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Or how else can you borrow strength? Take advice, bad advice, or simply go through life being influenced by what people advise rather than what Bible doctrine says. Never learn any doctrine. Just depend on others for advice. Nothing is worse than taking advice from strangers. Never have a thought of your own. You're weak all of your life. Depend on the counsel of others, which means using someone else as a crutch rather than learning and applying doctrine for yourself. Use someone else's scale of values rather than developing your own through doctrine. Like the guy who couldn't stand the color red, but when he went to repaint his car, his best friend liked that color, and so he painted it red. And every time he got in his car, he gagged. He's weak. And he blames his best friend rather than the fact that he made the decision. He was under the influence. He's a weak sister, what we call very simply a wimp. Well, eventually, some people go other ways. They depend on chemicals for comfort and courage. Drug addiction. You get your strength out of a bottle. Now, tipping a bottle very lightly, we've studied that. But trying to get your strength or your courage out of a bottle is the quintessence of idiocy. Even downing in one gulp a bottle of ink won't help. Though many of the things that you need are in the form of ink on paper. Is that too much for you tonight? So if you get your strength in this matter, you take some form of dope, you destroy yourself. Or depend on others for happiness. And there are more people that just have to be with people all the time because they can never be happy when they're alone. They're alone with a weak sister who has never learned to entertain himself. You ask a lot of people, well, what book have you read recently? Well, I haven't read any books. You ever stay home at night? Well, to go to bed. That's it. Depending on others for happiness. When you depend on others for happiness, you'll never be happy. When you're a self-contained unit, you'll find great happiness with others. If you bring your own happiness with you. You know what they used to say at parties? BYOB, bring your own bottle. Well, it should be BYOH, bring your own happiness. We'll all have a good time. So depending on others for happiness, rather than living inside the divine dynasphere and deriving your happiness from the function of the various eight gates. I used before the illustration, I have make no apologies for repetition. Inculcation is the only way you're ever going to learn. Repetition bothers me a great deal more than it does you. You see, I have many more things I'd like to get to. But when I look into your charming faces and realize that you need to have it hammered in, I repeat without apology. The illustration. You can't build muscle and strength by designating someone else to go to the gym and take a workout for you. You have to do it yourself. You must make the decision and you must do the exercise. You can't gain spiritual momentum or achieve spirituality by sending a proxy to church to learn doctrine. You must relate your own volition to what you do, not what others do. Wimps spend their whole lives relating their volition to what others do. You must make daily and consistent decisions to go to church and learn doctrine for yourself and not be distracted by the opinions of others or the influence of some believer in the cosmic system. You must decide to learn doctrine. No one else can learn it for you. It's the old principle of live and learn. It goes with another principle called live and let live. Live and let live plus live and learn. Live in the divine dynasphere, learn Bible doctrine. Now, the historical trend in relationship to this principle. What is the principle, you say? Well, it's number 13. That's why you can't remember. It's the principle of borrowed strength. Yes, I can see that somebody just said, what principle? Now, we are suckers. For the United States of America to have any troops in Western Europe is the quintessence of stupidity. The only way that this country can be safe is to follow the principle of the Monroe Doctrine. You remember President Monroe succeeded President Madison. Dolly Madison was the greatest entertainer and one of the most charming ladies who ever graced the White House outside of Mrs. Reagan. Then came Monroe. And the Monroe Doctrine says, secure the Western Hemisphere. And you know what that means? Get our troops out of Europe. Bring them back to the United States. They're ready for an invasion from Mexico. We have no business being involved in a NATO alliance. Western Europe in this century has derived its freedom and its strength from American military and industrial power. This fact was demonstrated in two world wars. While Europe depends on us for their security and their cosmic arrogance and in their jealousy, they despise us, as illustrated by the recent strikes, as illustrated by demonstrations against the Americans being there, as illustrated by the attitude of French waiters toward American tourists. The power of NATO is borrowed power. borrowed from the industrial complex and military establishment of the United States of America. That's what keeps Western Europe free. And yet, they're going to accept the pipeline from Siberia, from the Siberian gas fields. They have absolutely no appreciation of what we have done for them. And as a matter of fact, they are constantly trying to influence both our foreign and domestic policy. Western Europe at present, 1982, needs American troops and weaponry and depends on American influence to protect them from the tyranny of Russian communism. The countries of Western Europe will continue to borrow our strength, which means we are becoming weaker and weaker. Every time we send troops to Western Europe, we become that much weaker. And if we continue this NATO alliance, they will finally sap up our strength completely until we are weak and they are strong and they will reject us. Now, it's obvious from prophecy that after the church age is terminated, that is by the rapture, the resurrection of the church, that Western Europe will be very strong, the revived Roman Empire. Now, none of us know when the rapture is going to occur. It could occur tonight, but it could occur 1,000 years from now. But whenever it occurs, quite obviously, the United States will be weak, and quite obviously, Western Europe will be very strong, the revived Roman Empire of the tribulation. So this implies that in the tribulation they will be strong on borrowed strength from whomever. And prophecy makes it very clear we're just simply not in it. If the rapture should occur soon, the revived Roman Empire will be strong at our expense. That means lives of magnificent men who have died on European battlefields. Money, material squandered on foreign soil. We will have transferred our strength to the revived Roman Empire of Western Europe. And they will laugh. Now it's behind our backs, but then openly at our stupidity, our idiocy, our total divorcement from reality. Right now, everyone in Europe is a potential hostage. They have no business with troops anywhere except on foreign soil till we get straightened out. And we are far from straightened out at this moment. Our power must come strategically from interior lines. We are now strategically in the antithetical concept of exterior lines. And that requires twice as much military power and industrial power than we have now. Number 14. No nation has permanently survived the prosperity of manifest destiny. Repeat, no nation has permanently survived the prosperity of manifest destiny. The three components of manifest destiny, we have noted them many times in the past. It starts out with a landed aristocracy, an agricultural economy. It moves to the industrial complex if it becomes a client nation to God, and it has an undeveloped frontier which in the first part of its history actually absorbs the failures in the landed aristocracy system plus the failures in the industrial complex. People who have talent and people who will work hard, but they simply can't make it in the industrial complex or the landed aristocracy, but they do very well in the undeveloped frontier. Historically, England went this way, and Robert Clive is the perfect illustration. Robert Clive couldn't make it in the landed aristocracy or the industrial complex, but he made it magnificently in the undeveloped frontier of India. For prosperity to exist, all three components must be combined under the leadership of the middle class industrial complex. Inevitably, if a nation is going to become a client nation to God, the industrial complex must carry the leadership, must dominate. And during the combined process, there's a struggle for freedom. the attainment of freedom, the establishment of freedom, the capacity for freedom necessary for the function of the client nation to God. When all components of the client nation are combined under the leadership of the industrial complex, there is great prosperity and inevitably prosperity tests, which, by the way, we are flunking at the present time. Once the prosperity of manifest destiny is established through consolidation, it cannot be perpetuated apart from a maximum number of believers living in the divine dynasphere and learning Bible doctrine. The pivot of mature believers, which perpetuates the prosperity of manifest destiny, is formed by residence and function inside the divine dynasphere and or advancing from gate 4 to gate 8 through the perception and application of doctrine. However, when believers become so wrapped up with life of prosperity that they neglect doctrine and transfer to the cosmic system to exploit and enjoy their prosperity, they use their very own volition to destroy themselves and eventually the client nation to God. In other words, it is the prosperity of any client nation to God which brings ruin and destruction to that client nation. No nation has gone down under adversity. It goes down under prosperity. Prosperity creates the climate for destruction. Prosperity leads to economic, social, and military decline. The cosmic system then becomes the detractor and the basis for failure to pass the prosperity test, both individually and nationally. The cosmic system offers pseudo-prosperity by eliminating capacity and perspective and by putting up such things as promotion, success, money, pleasure, approbation, social and sexual prosperity as substitutes. And in their proper place, all of these things are legitimate expressions of happiness. But in the cosmic system, they are the expression of evil. All capacity for prosperity comes from Bible doctrine or truth and is related to humility. The freedom and doctrine which produce the prosperity we have today has suddenly become secondary, and freedom is distorted into a system of pleasure leading to social degeneration. It also is distorted into a system of welfare state leading to economic disaster. Therefore, self-gratification rather than the enjoyment of prosperity is always and inevitably the ruin of a nation. Prosperity cannot be enjoyed or maintained apart from doctrine or truth. And therefore, again, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. Prosperity cannot be perpetuated apart from residence and function in the divine dynasphere. The administration of the fifth cycle of discipline destroys both the client nation to God and the principle of manifest destiny. And therefore, the important historical trend, the pivot of mature believers, is the basis for the perpetuation of prosperity in the client nation to God. Historically, no nation has permanently survived the prosperity of manifest destiny. And in these times of the Gentiles, SPQR holds the record of having the longest period of prosperity. We aren't even in the running as yet. So authority is a matter of human volition. This is a part of the same principle. And we noted on Sunday night that all authority in life is dependent on human volition. We are free to accept or reject authority in life. All legitimate authority is delegated by God through the laws of divine establishment and through the principles of freedom. And all illegitimate authority is based on the functions of the cosmic system. And while God has delegated authority in the human race, like government, marriage, home, this authority is no good unless human volition accepts it. And while the husband has legitimate authority over the wife, his authority is useless unless the wife from her own free will recognizes and accepts it. And while parents have legitimate authority in the home, this authority is useless unless children from their own free will recognize and accept it. That's why we introduced the principle on Sunday night that all great leadership involves salesmanship. Authority is useless and meaningless unless recognized and accepted by human volition. This is why we have revolution, violence, crime, and other functions of evil. And this explains the rise of Hitler in Germany or Lenin in Russia. And as believers, Balaam is a good illustration. Balaam recognized and accepted the authority of God until God gave him a direct command, which was incompatible with his personal desires. He wanted to earn a $1 million fee, and God said, don't go and do it. But at that point, Balaam rejected the directive will of God and came under the principle of his permissive will, which did not hinder him from going. The permissive will of God is based on the fact of human volition as the means of resolving the angelic conflict. We study that in detail, of course, on Sunday night. The doctrine of the permissive will of God permits the function of human volition under the principle of human freedom. And therefore, the permissive will of God functions when the believer rejects the directive will of God, as in the case of Balaam. God does not tamper with human volition. So when the believer rejects the authority of God's word and the divine mandates contained therein, he has in essence destroyed the authority of God in his own personal life and reverted to the cosmic system and the authority of Satan as the ruler of this world. Number 15, which will be as far as we can go this evening, and as far as we're going for a while. Historical disaster to the client nation occurs in three categories. The first category is economic depression, the accumulation of bad decisions regarding free enterprise. It can be government destruction of industry, labor destruction of industry, or management destruction of industry. But economic depression is one of the three categories of historical disaster. Secondly, social degeneration. Individual bad decisions destroy the structure of society. The sacredness of freedom, property, and life are ignored or rejected. Integrity disappears from society and is replaced by every form of crime or immorality. The third is military defeat. No nation can win a war when the manpower suffers from social degeneration and the industrial complex cannot provide logistical support. Today we have ignored one of the most basic principles of warfare and one of the most important. It has nothing to do with nuclear or sophisticated weaponry. It has to do with logistics. No nation can win a war without logistics. And the great secret weapon is to have the backing of an industrial complex that can outproduce the enemy. Without it, there is no hope for winning any future wars of any size. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying these things. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us in our thinking so that we might continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.